I would ask you, if you have a Bible this morning, if you would, for a few moments, make your way to the very last book of the Bible. It's called the Book of the Revelation. It's written by a man named John, but it's written to be a revelation of a man named Jesus Christ. I prayed and I asked God for a special anointing on our service today. I knew it would be an anniversary Sunday, and I wanted it to be a message that proved that we realized that this moment has very little to do with us and everything to do with our God. Without the Lord, we would be and we are and we have nothing. But in Him we know and we live and we move and we have our being. I prayed and I searched for passages of scriptures that would be fitting for the moment. I wanted to preach a message today that was filled with praise. And I wanted it to really bring you to a little bit of heaven on earth. And so I began to search the scriptures, and there were plenty of passages that could have been used in the moment of praise today. I could have went to the song that Miriam has sung. I could have went to the psalmist and all of the praises that David gave. I could have went to Solomon and heard him standing before the temple praising the Lord. I could have went to the shepherds on the hillside. We could have went to the church as they came out of persecution. But I found myself, by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, to make my way to the book of the Revelation. And I found in the book of the Revelation a great moment, a moment that has not happened yet in our lifetime. It has not happened yet in the account of those scriptures. But it is a moment that I can only describe as total praise. And I wanted to take this worship and praise service that will take place sometime in the near future, and I wanted to make it applicable today for our church. I need you to understand the setting of Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, the apostle John feels himself caught up by the Spirit of God. He hears the voice of the Lord as it mentions to him in verse number 1, "Come up hither, and I will show thee I will show thee things which must be hereafter." In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, I believe you find in the Bible John getting a glimpse of something called the rapture. For those of you that may not know what the rapture is that moment when every born again child of God on the earth, the person that has acknowledged themselves as a sinner, the person who has acknowledged the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the person who has consciously and morally repented to the Lord and said, "Lord, I reckon myself to be a sinner. I reckon you to be the Savior. I know you died for my sin on a cross. I know they buried you. I know that you resurrected. And I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to heaven except through you. And I bow my knee and my heart and my head, and I call upon you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, in my life. Forgive me of my sin and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die." If you have done that, would you say amen? That's what it means to be born again. In that moment, the Spirit of God enters into your body. The Bible says you become a habitation of God. He fills every fiber, every eon of your being. And God lives within you, never to leave. There will be a moment that's coming in the future when the Lord Jesus will leave heaven and will meet us in the air. There will be a trumpet that will sound, and the church of God will be lifted off of the earth, not the church building. A building is not the church. People are the church. And in that moment, we will be raptured to be with the Lord and to be with all of our loved ones who have been saved and who've died already. Their body may be rotting in the ground, but their spirit and their soul is with the Lord Jesus. John is caught up 2,000 years ago into this glorious scene that will take place in heaven, but it has not happened yet. Pastor, when will it happen? Oh, my friend, it could happen as early as now. Amen. It could happen at any moment. For this scene that John is between the church being raptured and the unloosing of something called the Great Tribulation upon the earth. Immediately when John gets to heaven, he is introduced to something very special. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And John comes face to face with this one that is on the throne. We know him to be God the Father. As you begin to read the description in verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, there's this beautiful description of the glory and splendor of the one that sat upon the throne. And immediately John is introduced into a worship service. If you look at verse number 7, he says there were four, or verse number 8, there were four beasts that had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, quote that with me, please, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So John is ushered into this scene. It's the throne room of heaven. You've not been there yet, but if you know God, you will be there. John says, immediately I was arrested by the throne and the one that sat upon the throne, full of splendor and glory. John says, all from around the throne, I heard the angels sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. If you pick up in verse number 9, it says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, read it with me now, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And John has been introduced into the scene of worship of the holiness of God and his great power of creation. 55 years, Plantation Baptist Church has believed, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. My friend, God is the creator of all things. The Bible says the Lord Jesus is the creator and sustainer of all life. And in heaven, when the church gets there, we will be immediately introduced into this worship scene of heaven where the creation is praising him for his holiness and for his great power as the great creator. In the middle of this worship scene in chapter 5, verse number 1, John runs into a very important moment in this scene. John says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. This book was written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. John says, and I saw a strong angel. To help you with a mental image, just picture your pastor there, a strong angel. Turn me down just a notch up here, Andy, or Andy, I'm just a notch. An angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Pastor, are there seals in heaven? He's not talking about art. He's talking about seals that stamp things, okay? John said in verse number 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. Fascinating. The Bible talks about hell being in under the earth. No man in heaven, no man in the earth, no man under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I did what, class? Wept much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Oh, you got to understand what's happening here. This affects your very life. John caught up into heaven at the moment of rapture, picturing the moment of the rapture of the church, and before the great tribulation that will be unleashed upon the earth. And he's giving us a picture of the scene of heaven, hence a little heaven on earth today. John says, as soon as I got there, I was arrested by the throne. I never seen anything like that. The one that sat on the throne shone with the glory dew. I heard angels everywhere saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I heard the praise from creation. And then all of a sudden, a strong angel takes the platform. And I noticed in the hand of him that sat on the throne a book. John said that angel put out a call that went throughout the world. It went out to every living being in heaven. It went out to every living being in the earth. Every living being under the earth. And the call was, who can open the book? All what you need to know about that book is that book is representative of the title deed to the earth. It's a scroll that was written there. And really and truthfully, you've entered into a scene where there was going to be a determination of who's going to rule the world. You understand that John knows in just a few passages coming up that there's going to be this great destruction in the world and this great tribulation that is going to be coming about. And there is a battle for humanity. Who's going to rule the world? And John said, we looked all throughout the eternity past. We looked all the way into the future. We looked in heaven, on the earth, under heaven. And there was no man of Adam's ruined race who could open up the book. Pastor, Adam's ruined race? Yes, there was no man that was able to open the book. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, do you understand what happened in the garden when God created man? God created man with the title deed to the earth. When God created Adam, he said, Adam, I give you dominion over the earth. And man had possession of the earth. He was to name the animals. He was to oversee the garden. He was to have dominion. And when Adam sinned in that garden, Adam took the title deed of humanity and he handed it over to the God of this world. His name is Satan. And for ten thousand years now, Satan has ruled the earth. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air, the God of this world. In his diabolical, destructive manner, Satan has ravished this earth with evil, all while trying to be exalted and to be worshipped and to be praised. And in the book of Revelation, you find that Satan has his Christ. He's the Antichrist. He has his prophet. He is the false prophet. And Satan, above everything, desires to be worshipped, and he wants to rule the earth and receive from the earth power and wisdom and glory and blessing and strength. And there is a moment in that scene of heaven where that title deed is laying vulnerable there. Oh, many men have tried to rule the earth. Hitler tried. Alexander the Great tried. Stalin tried. Napoleon tried. We have men today that want to rule the earth, many of them with evil intention, but not even men with good intention can rule the earth. You would think that Abraham would have the ability, Moses would have the ability, Paul would have the ability, but my friend, all men are sinners. John's watching a scene unfold where it's going to be determined who's going to rule the world. And John said, when I came to the understanding that there was no man that could look upon the book or open the book or receive the title deed to the earth, he said, I began to weep. I love verse number 5. John says, and one of the elders saith unto me, say those two words, weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Oh, how that must have been music to the ears of John. John, being a Jew, the Jews always looking for that Lion of Messiah. Oh, upon the earth, they wanted their Messiah to come and to destroy the Roman rule. They wanted him to rule as king of the jungle. They were going to rule and reign with him. And the Jews were looking for a lion to show up. And instead, God sent a lamb. John the Baptist saw him one day. His name was Jesus. And John the Baptist said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. John's in this scene and he's weeping because he thinks redemption is impossible. He thinks the world will be under the rule of Satan. And he does not understand that God has not left himself without a man. For Jesus is the God-man. And the old man looks at the little boy, he looks at the young prophet, and he says, son, stop your crying. It ain't over yet. Right. Oh, it takes me back to a scene one time. I was in Jacksonville in the Great Southern Baptist Church downtown, First Baptist Jacksonville. And I went there for a preacher's conference. And at the end of the conference, they always did this dramatic play of the Lord Jesus being brought in and before Pilate and beaten and crucified and buried and risen again. And it was a dramatic presentation and it was powerful and encouraging. And so they get to this point where Jesus is being beaten by these Roman soldiers. And somehow I end up a seat right where they're beating him right in front of me. And I don't like that kind of thing. And so they're working on him. And there's this woman behind me and she's lost it. I mean, she is weeping and screaming and howling like no hope, almost annoying. And the intensity of the moment and her screaming, I mean, I'm a nervous wreck. Finally, my wise preacher friend sitting beside me, who had a lot more patience than I did, he simply said this, would somebody please tell the woman behind us, in 3 days, he rises from the dead. Is it okay to say that shut her up? So the old man says to John, stop weeping, boy. The lion of the tribe of Benjamin, the root of Jesse, oh, he hath prevailed. John said, verse number six, and I beheld. And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. That seven is the number of perfection. Horns are for power, all powerful. Seven eyes, all knowing. Seven spirits, all presence of God sent forth into all the earth. And he, that lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Oh, there was no man in heaven. There was no man in earth. There was no man under the earth. But my friend, they were all ruined by Adam, for sin had touched them. But there is a sinless man who died to save the world, and that's our blessed Lord Jesus. And he says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So can you imagine what that's going to be like? There, how did John miss the Lamb who steps forward out of the throne, and the Lamb takes the title deed to the earth, the title deed to humanity. He's the only one that was able to do it. John said, when he took it, my ears began to hear something. In verse number 9, he says, then they sung a new, say that word, class, song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now watch this. This is fitting for our day. Out of every kindred, every tongue, every people and nation, and thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And God's people said, amen. He stepped forward and he took the book, and he had the authority and the right to take the book. And when the church realized that he had that right because he had conquered sin and death in the grave, when they realized that he was the risen, victorious Lord, they broke out in song from every part of the world, every nation represented there. They began to sing praises. It's called the Song of the Redeemed. Oh, it's a song that you will sing if you know the Lord Jesus. You will be in this number. Think about that. As sure as you're sitting there, you're going to look at me up there and say, this is what you were talking about. John said, not only did the song of the redeemed begin to break into my ears, he said, but I heard another voice. Verse number 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So you've got the song of the redeemed being sung by those that have been born again, the church. You've also got the angels in joining in this song. They can't sing about redemption because they've never been saved, but they can sing about the glory of God. And look what they were singing. Verse number 12, not only were the angels, look at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb forever and ever. John is brought into the scene. He's arrested by the throne. The one sitting on the throne, worship and praise and glory is coming from everywhere. He's just watched the Lord Jesus make his way, take his proper place and receive the title deed to the earth. He's hearing the church sing. He's hearing an innumerable host of angels. Then he begins to hear a voice from way far away. The Bible says it comes from every creature, every whale was created by God. You believe that? They make a beautiful noise in the ocean. The researchers will tell you that's how they communicate with one another. That may be true, but I believe that's how they give God glory. Every worm that crawls through the dirt, I don't know how, but he has the ability to give God glory. Every bird, every bee, every animal, every creature, every wind that blows, every tree that's a, and John says, all of creation that Paul said groaneth and travaileth under the curse of sin. Once the Lord Jesus has set that straight, all of creation joins with all of the angels that join with all of the church, that joins with all of the saints, singing, worthy is the Lamb. I studied that, and it's a song that develops into something that will make your hair stand up. At least it did mine. It goes something like this. Let's go, Finns. Amen. Now, we don't get to do this in the stadium because they're losers. But here, no, they're good. They got a chance, man. They got a chance. Is it okay to say my money's on them? My prayers are for them. Let's go, Finns. You ever been there? Let's go, Finns. Let's go, Canes. Let's go, Canes. Let's go, Finns. Oh, it's fantastic when you're in a stadium. I'll never forget, I sat in the old Orange Bowl, the greatest place in the world to watch a football game. And I remember that we were playing, I think it was Florida, and they were beating, no, it was Florida State. And I was in that end zone when that football went wide right, and I didn't get to catch it, but I prayed it wide right. And I remember just the chant coming from the student body. Let's go, Canes. Let's go, Canes. I've been in that Dolphin Stadium one time or two when we had momentum. Let's go, Finns. Let's go, Finns. Oh, on a national level, when you watch the Olympics, USA, USA. I've seen our president stand in a time of natural disaster or disasters and to chant USA, USA. And I don't care who you are, when you begin to hear USA, it unifies, it rallies into one voice. It has power, man. In heaven, they don't hear USA, but they hear worthy is the Lamb. 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 It will be sung from all the saints of yesteryear, all the saints of the church, all of creation, all of the angels. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I thought I would let you practice. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. You folks on my left, your power and riches. Power and riches. Are you looking at me? You hear me? I'm talking to you. Hello. That includes you. Say it. Power and riches. You folks right here. Your wisdom and strength. Say it. You folks right here. Your honor and glory. Honor and glory. You folks there and there. Your blessing. Say it. Oh, the balcony. Come on now. Blessing. All right. Power and riches. Wisdom and strength. Honor and glory. Blessing. Here we go. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. All right, here we go. Oh, a little heaven on earth. Let's go, Finns, USA. Worthy is the Lamb. Here we go. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. 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 And all the people of God said.
Amen.
That's interesting. That's what they said after that. Verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. Sweating like a pig. In my new suit too. Okay. Thank you. All right. Pastor, why preach this message? Because I want you to praise the Lord with me today. To receive power and riches. I want the Lord to know that Plantation Baptist Church, we exalt him for his great power. We know we would not be here without him. He has been nothing but awesome to us. He saved our wretched soul. He's given us a wonderful church. He's met our need. Power and riches belong unto him. I want him to know that we trust his wisdom, his strength that is made perfect in our weakness, the carrying of our soul. He deserves honor and glory and blessing, and we reckon him to be our great God and our great Savior. And we thank you for 55 years. And God, as long as you give us breath in our life, we will praise the Lord. Let's go get another 55. I don't have time, but I have it here. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty be ascribed and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng, we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and we will crown him Lord of all. Shall we pray?